T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, Goop.
Steiny.
The thought, I die alone. I laugh the loudest to the...
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Happy Thursday to everybody out there. And as the great Matt Steinmetz likes to say, we got action, boys and girls. We got action today as it's Steph Curry Appreciation Day. Today is the 11-year anniversary since the Warriors drafted Steph Curry number 7 overall. And we're going to have a star-studded guest lineup today. Larry Riley is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Bob McKillop, Steph Curry's college coach at Davidson, he'll join us at 11. His former teammate, Kent Bazemore, at 11:15. We'll talk to the president of basketball operations, Bob Myers, at high noon. The voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, at 12:30. And the Jet, Jason Terry, at 1 o'clock. So, boys and girls, buckle up, baby. This is going to be a fun ride. Steiny, 11 years to the day Steph Curry was drafted by the Golden State Warriors.
Pretty amazing. I mean, it's really pretty amazing. I think it also can show everyone just, man, how time flies. It really does. 11 years just went in a snap of a finger, it seems like. So I'm doing some math, and I think the thing that you got to be grateful for, so Curry's played 11 years. That's about 80 games a year, so that's 800 and some, and then he's played a bunch of playoff games. My point is we've seen Curry play almost 1,000 games here in the Bay Area. And we've seen he's been such a captivating player that we watch most of the games. I mean, the three of us watch all the games because it's our job. But Steph Curry, in 11 years, turned people from, I don't have to watch the Warriors game, to, I have to watch the Warriors game. And there's so many things that he's brought to the Bay Area and to Warrior fans. We've been very, very lucky to see it.
Yeah, and you know what, Steinmetz and Bonte, we're still seeing it. And that's the crazy thing. Where did the 11 years go? And I just think about analytics and numbers and guys that come out of college, like, well, LeBron James, who didn't even go to college, you know, had his high school games broadcasted, and he lived up to what he was supposed to be. Some will even say surpassed. But when I think of Steph Curry, who had a great college career and went pretty high in the draft by the Warriors, I didn't expect this. And I say that to say this is the beautiful essence of sports, is when – you don't know what you're getting. And I know we're going to have Riley come on, who's got to take so much pride in drafting Steph. But, fellas, I don't know how you two felt when the Warriors went up there and announced that Stephen Curry was coming to Golden State. I will say this, and I'm excited about today's show. There's no way in hell, I don't know if there's anybody walking this great earth, maybe Dale and Sonya, that thought Steph Curry could be this to the NBA. And I don't want to go too far off, but not only on the court, he's been an ambassador off the court, family man, great husband, community guy. I mean, this is what you call the epitome of a grand slam when you make a draft pick and hand the baton, Bonte and Steiny, for a guy to be the face of your organization. Steph Curry, A+, all the way, man.
No doubt about it. Let's listen to that moment 11 years ago today when Steph Curry out of Davidson
was drafted by the Golden State Warriors, number 7 overall in the 2009 NBA draft.
The 7th pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select Stephen Curry from Davidson College.
The 6'3 junior guard out of Davidson, who quite simply is the best shooter in the draft.
Blake Griffin goes number 1 overall. That is Curry selected after David Kahn of the Minnesota Timberwolves selected Ricky Rubio and a young man out of Syracuse named Johnny Flynn. And I know a lot of Warrior fans like myself, Steiny and Goo, I thought Jordan Hill was destined to the Bay Area, thinking, boy, they're going to end up getting Jordan Hill, aren't they? And they end up with Steph Curry, when Dell and company were like, look, we would love to go to New York City, but here we are, Steph Curry coming to the Bay Area. What do you remember about that exact moment, Steiny and Goo?
Well, I remember he didn't really want to come to the Warriors because the Warriors weren't very good. But when Minnesota took 2 point guards, everything changed. You know, it's funny, guys. We talk about, okay, the Warriors won 3 titles in 5 years, and oh, that first year, you know, they may have gotten lucky because the Love and Kyrie injuries, and then the Cavs wouldn't have won it if Draymond wouldn't have got. I mean, none of this happens if the Minnesota Timberwolves take 1 point guard instead of 2. I mean, think about this. I think I can say this safely. There's never been a team in NBA history with 2 picks that high that took them on the same position. It's just, there's no, especially when the position, there's only 1 of, not 2. It's not like a, you know, a point guard's a point guard. So, you know, you just start thinking about the stuff that's happened with Steph Curry. It never happens unless, quite frankly, David Kahn doesn't try one of the most unorthodox moves in draft history.
Yeah, and you see how that worked out. I think we can make the argument they haven't even recovered. You know, they had some moments, but they haven't really recovered as a franchise. But I'm going to say this, Bonte, to answer your question, I didn't hate on Steph. He just, to me, wasn't at that time the guy that was going to take the Warriors to the next level. You know, I didn't hate on him coming out of college. I just didn't know if that his style would translate. I don't want to compare him to Iverson, but I didn't have him in that category as, I don't know, maybe it was just how he looked, you know, the baby face. He looked like a young kid, and I just didn't know he had that dog in him. And I do remember his dad, or the leak getting to the media that maybe he didn't want to come to Golden State. And I was driving around in the caddy back then in the Bay like, uh-oh, this is destined for failure. But now I sit back and knowing we had this day coming, and props to producer Kyle for putting this together, I'm just – you forget all these highlights and just what Steph – how he did it and when he did it. And I got to tell you, he's one of a kind, man. He is one of a kind. And if I could use an explicitive, I would. And it's just amazing that the Warriors, you know, benefited from having a guy, Larry Wright, with the insight to draft him. It's just crazy. Yeah. When you talk about, real quick, return on investment. Steiny, I don't know what you guys thought when he came out of Davidson. Did you think he could be this good? Like, who's walking
Absolutely
around
not.
Saying, you know what, Goo? I knew he could be this.
Nobody okay. did.
I love
Nobody thought he was going to be an MVP. Nobody thought he was going to shatter the 3-point record. Nobody thought he'd be would create the term gravity on the basketball court, basically. And really, it started at his first media day ever with the Golden State Warriors. Steiny, I think you were there. Guru, we were probably watching on TV or reading about it. His first ever media day after getting drafted out of Davidson, Monte Ellis, who was the face of the franchise at that point, and you had Steven Jackson basically barking and begging to get out of town. Monte Ellis basically says, yeah, the small backcourt, it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. And I thought as a Warrior fan, I was like, boy, you got a new draft pick, and you're here. Go another one bites the dust. Basically, another here comes another Ike Diago. Here comes another FK Udo, because the face of the franchise doesn't even believe in Steph Curry. Do you remember Steph Curry's demeanor? Because Steiny, I know Raymond Ritter tells a story that he texts Steph later that night, saying, "Hey, you're gonna see something on SportsCenter. Just ignore it. It's gonna be okay." But it was kind of this welcome to the NBA moment when Monte Ellis basically said, yeah, this isn't going to work. A small backcourt with us, not going to work.
Man, there's so much there. How did he handle it? He handled it exactly like he's handled everything from that moment on, as a player and as a person. He was calm. He was calm about it. It wasn't a big deal. And it's funny because, yes, it was like day one of media day. Welcome to the NBA, kid. But what we forget is he was in the NBA his whole life. So
that's true.
Even though it was a crazy way to start, he'd already seen a lot of the NBA through his dad. So he knew the ups and downs, and so that to me made him equipped to deal with it. As far as, you know, here's the one thing I want to say, because I watched Curry from his rookie year. The day he was drafted, nobody thought he would be nobody thought he was going to be a star or superstar. Now, in fairness, after his first year, then he started to get hurt a little bit, and then he started to emerge. At that point, I was still like, he's still got a long way to go. But at that point, there were people who were saying, Curry, it should be Curry's team. Curry's really, really, really good. He's got a chance to be really good. So, but it wasn't a lot of people then. But there were people, I would want to say maybe 3 years into Curry's career, who started to see that he could be this good. I didn't. Even 3 years into his career, but nobody thought he could be this good the day he was drafted.
I just imagine us three doing a radio show when the star player like Monte Ellis says what he says about Steph Curry that day, and I'm wondering, Steiny, if you can remember, were you right there when he said it, or did word get to you like, man, you won't believe what Monte just said?
No, I asked him. I was the guy who asked him the question.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I never knew that.
Yeah, we were sitting around a table. It was media day. Monte sits down, about seven other guys, and I said something like, it was simple, like, what do you think about the Warriors? You know, what do you think about you and Steph? Or, you know, I think the first one was like, how's your summer? What's, and then I was thinking, what about you and Steph? And he's just like, yeah, I can't do that.
And it was what went through your mind? Like, oh crap, he just said this. Like, wow.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I was like, wow. But you know, the thing about Monte Ellis was, you know, he wasn't beating his chest. He was actually really quiet. You know, so he wasn't ranting or raving. He just said,
man,
it's just not gonna work, you know.
I can't do it
with a small backcourt. But the other thing is, that's the day Steven Jackson also said he wanted to be traded.
Yep.
First day of media
what
day.
Happened?
So it was just, you talk about an S storm. I mean, that's what Steph Curry walked into.
That was a writer's dream, Guru. That was a writer's dream. Max Stivis asked Monte Ellis, is this going to work? No, it's not going to work. Okay, story, boom. Oh, wait, we have a sidebar. Steven Jackson wants out. Wait, what do you know?
exactly.
That rookie year didn't start off great for Steph Curry, but it sure ended great. Here's his first jumper ever against the Houston Rockets in his first ever game, and then we'll play the highlight to end the season when he dropped 42 points against the Portland Trail Blazers.
For the Golden State Warriors, they will have Steven Jackson, Roni Turiaf, Andres Biedrich, Monte Ellis, and Stephen Curry, the young rookie. Stephen Curry will bring it up for the Golden State Warriors. And the league verified it today. There's Curry with the jumper. This kid looks like he's already played 5 years.
That's Steph Curry's first jumper, 14 points, 7 assists, 4 steals in his first ever game, a loss to the Houston Rockets by 1 point. But he ended that season with a bang. Rule Cook, fellas, 42 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists in his last game as he tried to make a charge for the Rookie of the Year award. Here's Steph Curry, highlights from his last game of his rookie season when he dropped 42 against the Portland Trail Blazers.
He chooses a 3.
And he bangs it home over him. Steph Curry with 36.
How improbable would this be?
Curry step back. Good! And a new career high.
He's got 38 and counting.
and four games in five nights in three different cities. And Steph Curry has saved his best for last. 42 points.
Bobby Fitz. Bobby Fitzgerald and Jim Barnett on the call for NBC Sports Bay Area. Steiny may have been on the sidelines at that point. Who knows? But tell me what you think about that, Steiny Aku. In his rookie year, the way he did to give Warrior fans some hope.
Yeah, I remember the 2000. Okay, so his rookie year. Like, here's what stuck out to me about that clip, guys. Don Nelson was coaching that team, and they started Andres Biedrich and Roni Turiaf. I thought he was a small ball
right?
guy.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, the first that was the first game of the season, I thought.
But the Rockets, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at I don't remember a ton about his rookie year, except I do remember the last game, and then I remember the game, I want to say, at Madison Square Garden, where I thought Don Nelson didn't play him at all, but now I'm looking at the numbers. He only played 2 minutes. And it was – I don't know why he didn't play that night in New York. Mm. It was just an anomaly. In fact, maybe I may ask Larry Riley that when he comes on today. Because it was – do you guys remember that rookie year when he didn't play in that game at Madison Square Garden?
DMP, the man, Nelly, man. I don't remember much what happened.
Yeah, I don't remember much about that game, Steiny, but you could ask Larry Riley in just a second here. Larry Riley, former Warriors GM from 2009 to 2012, currently the senior advisor for the Atlanta Hawks, Nestor Travis Slink. Larry, welcome to 95.7 The Game, BSG. It's good to have you back on these airwaves. And, boy, 11 years to the day when you, that's right, you, not Nelly, you, and company were responsible for drafting Steph Curry alongside Klay Thompson a couple years later. Steph Curry, let me just ask you this right out the gate, because it's been 11 years and time flies, Larry. When did you first become aware of Steph Curry? When did he hit your radar or hit your whiteboard in a draft room to say, okay, this is a guy we need to look at as possibly drafting him seventh overall?
Steph became known to the world during the NCAA tournament, during the time that I was an assistant coach on the bench with Nelly. And there were, March Madness games on TV. And that's when he became known to the rest of the basketball world, outside of Davidson and that conference. It wasn't quite national, but it was pretty close to that. And then he began to follow it up, and he became somebody that everybody was well aware of. And I had moved to the front office, and the point at which I decided this is a guy that we want and he can do the job was in December of, that would have actually been 2008 because the draft was 2009. I went to Indianapolis to see a game where Davidson was playing Purdue. And I walked out of the arena that day saying, okay, if there's a way to get to this guy in the draft, he's somebody that would really fit. He's somebody that we would want.
Hey, Larry, have you ever talked to Nelly about him getting the credit or a lot of the credit for drafting Curry? Or do you laugh about it? Or has it never come up?
Mostly I laugh about it, but frankly, I don't hear it that often.
Well, that's because I try to set the record straight, Larry.
Well, among the general managers and the front office personnel and so forth, it never comes up. And but let's give Nelly his credit. I sent him a lot of, at that time, they were on CDs, and he was certainly on board with Steph Curry. He liked him. That made it easy because that was one hurdle I didn't have to clear at all. And we were on the same page easily. So if he says, well, yeah, I drafted him. Well, okay. He liked him. There's no question. At that time, we were in a position where there was a little bit of a transition going on. And I did feel like, when I went to the front office, I felt like I could work with Nelly. And everybody at that time, in the origin of me taking that job, there were a lot of people, I use the term, a lot of people viewed me as a puppet for Nelly. And Nelly and I had talked that situation through, and he frankly said to me, I don't want to be the general manager. If you take this job, it's your job. And we can work together on a lot of things, but, you know, when it comes to decision time, you got to do what you want to do. And a lot of people would never believe that of Nelly. But Nelly and I had the kind of relationship. He never crossed me up on anything, and I was comfortable with it. So if you talk to Nelly and he says, well, yeah, I wanted to draft him, well, yeah, that's true, and I don't mind that at all. And yeah. Steph Curry's made us all look good. I've said before, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're around the Warriors, everybody who was associated with the Warriors at that time will say, yeah, I love Steph Curry. I'm the one that wanted to draft him. Well, okay, I don't have a problem with that. We were on board with it, and it was one of those things where Chris Cohan was the owner at that time, and the only thing he ever said to me is, this is your draft, do what you want to. And that part of it was really easy.
Yeah, Larry, before you came on, I was telling the guys how much pride I imagine you take, you know, being linked to Steph Curry, being the guy that brought him to the Bay Area. And I want to ask you, the morning of the draft or the night before when you laid your head on your pillow and you knew if he was there, this was your guy, has he surpassed what you even thought he could be, Larry? As crazy as that sound?
Oh, without question. And that's the case with a lot of superstars. If you talk to Rod Thorne, who drafted Michael Jordan, I think he would tell you the same thing. We've had conversations along the line. And Steph Curry has exceeded what we expected him to be. Just like if you talk to Rod Thorne, I would think he would tell you, we thought we drafted a great player in Michael. You know, he was so much better than what we thought. And the same is true of Steph. We thought we drafted a player who would be our point guard for 10 years, and we were very comfortable with that. But he certainly surpassed the expectations that we had for him.
Larry Riley here on 95.7 The Game, former Warriors GM, currently the senior advisor for the Atlanta Hawks, responsible with drafting Steph Curry out of Davidson. Now, Guru just mentioned the day of the draft, and we were just kicking around, Steinmetz and Guru and I, Larry, that what was David Kahn doing in Minnesota? He took two point guards back-to-back, Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn. I mean, were they even on your board, Larry, Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio? Where were they at on your board to the point where Minnesota takes back-to-back point guards, which I can't recall ever happening in the NBA draft?
I can't either. And in regards to really what happened there is it was the day before the draft that we received fairly solid intel that Minnesota was actually going to do that they were going to take two point guards. And I couldn't believe it, so much so that obviously I didn't sleep much that night. But the guys they took, as you've already mentioned, they take Rubio and Flynn. And I had gone to Barcelona to see Ricky Rubio, and I liked Ricky. I thought he was a good player, and I thought it was no doubt that they would take Ricky Rubio. I just wasn't sold on Johnny Flynn as a player, and I found it difficult to believe that they actually were going to do that, but if they were, that's fine, because in all honesty, we didn't think that Steph would be there at 7 for a very long time. Because, see, that draft, well, that started with Blake Griffin. You remember, He was the number one pick,
yep,
and he did not play his rookie year, had some injury issues, and as it turned out, Tyrese was the rookie of the year. He was picked number 4 that year, and Tyreek got a great start, and I thought Steph was deserving of the rookie of the year award anyway, because the second half of the season, Steph Curry was the better player. But it didn't work out that way. But those were the names that were in that draft, as well as Harden and Tobit, of course. I just thought somebody would take Steph Curry before us. And our biggest concern was, what do we do if Steph Curry's gone? And that was, okay, now you're looking at Jordan Hill, probably, at the University of Arizona. And I didn't particularly like that pick. And Brandon Jennings. Now, another one would have been DeMar DeRozan, Right. And that's, these things are now proven. We're talking about guys who have a 10-11 year career. DeRozan, of course, would have been a good addition, but at the same time, I couldn't sleep much thinking our intel's pretty good, but I'm not sure. And when it did happen, we were just tremendously relieved, and we got the guy that we had pegged as the number one guy we wanted at that spot. And I go back to the day we introduced Steph Curry to the people in the Bay Area. I made the comment that I would have taken him number two. I thought he was the second best player in the draft, and I would have been wrong because I would have taken Blake Griffin if I'd have had the number one pick. And to me, Steph Curry, I like Blake Griffin. He's had a good career, but it's obvious that Steph has been a catalyst to bringing championship basketball to his team.
Hey, Larry, is it true that Steph's daughter, Riley, was named after you?
I would say.
How about that one? Did you hear that one?
Oh, not only did I hear it, Steph came into my office one day, and there was no reason for him to come in. He never had problems. I never had to go search him out. And he sat down in front of me, and he said, "Hey, Coach, we're getting ready to have a child, and it's a girl, and we're getting close, and we're looking at names, and what would you think if we named our baby girl Riley?" And I was blown away.
Wow.
I was just absolutely blown away. And so it's I don't know. Those are fond memories, of course. And everybody knows she captured the world a few years ago when she ended up on TV a few different times. But yeah, there's some substance to that. They might have named her Riley. If I said, "No, you can't do that," I'd have been stupid. And he might have done it anyway. But they had that name picked out. He just ran it by me.
Well, I'm just glad that he didn't name her Nellie. That's all.
Well, she'll be the same personality, whatever her name is, because her last name's Curry.
Hey, Larry, I have fun with the guys, and I always tell them the best compliment in sports to me is when I can't say a player reminds me of anybody, and that's Stephen Curry. There was one Elvis Presley, one Michael Jackson, and one Steph Curry, but now I don't know because you're in Atlanta, and I tell the guys we go back and forth with Trae Young. I mean, I'm not saying he's exactly Stephen Curry, but I can tell that Curry has had an effect on him. Do you see any similarities between their two games?
Well, there's no question that the way Steph has played has impacted a lot of players, and there's no doubt it's had a great impact on Trae Young. And, you know, Trae is still growing. He's got passing ability. Trae was probably a better passer coming into the league than Steph was. Steph was a good passer, but that's the one area that Trae might have been a little better. Now, he doesn't at all shoot it like Steph, although he does shoot it. And, you know, he's a little bit smaller. There are some similarities. Who knows where Trae Young is going to go? He's got a lot of time left. But I think you're right in your comparison to a guy like there's one Elvis Presley. There's one Steph Curry. Steph Curry changed the NBA, and there's no question about that. How many people can you look at in any profession and say that they changed the profession for good? And certainly Steph did.
Hey, Larry, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for going down memory lane with us as we have this Steph Curry Appreciation Day. 11 years to the day, you were responsible for drafting Steph Curry and changing the Golden State Warriors franchise. Larry, best of luck in Atlanta. Good times. We'll catch up soon.
Well, that's good. And, you know, you're talking about Appreciation Days. I've always said there's one appreciation that ought to come along, and that's the fact that Chris Mullin and Rod Higgins put together that We Believe team, and those guys never got enough credit for it. So I'm giving a shout-out to those guys.
Wow. Well played. Well played. Shout-out to the We Believe team. Thanks, Larry. Hopefully you're safe, man. Stay safe.
You bet. Take care.
Larry Riley. Good stuff from Larry Riley, wow. Former Warriors GM, currently the senior advisor for the Atlanta Hawks. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by GoToGate Advertising. We'll react to what Larry Riley had to say. We got some good sound bites from that, plus your phone calls, 888-957-9570. What is your favorite Steph moment? What is your favorite Steph game? We'll get into that coming up here on 95.7 The Game, and it's all sponsored by Golden Gate Advertising.
Now, back to Steph Curry Appreciation Day on Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
Melo in the lane. Well contested. A 2-on-1 back the other way. Curry, why not? For three! Bingo!
And the Knicks crowd is stunned.
He is in a zone right now all by himself.
Mark Jones and Doris Burke got a call for ESPN. It was February 27th, 2013, where the Warriors lost a game due to Tyson Chandler grabbing 28 rebounds, 8-10 offensive rebounds where he's just tapping it out. Melo scored 35. But that was the day the nation wow. saw Steph Curry on an NBA basketball court at the Garden, drop 54 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. And, fellas, was that the moment where you knew something was brewing, something special was brewing with Steph Curry? Because that was the moment for me. It really was. Wow. I just remember watching that with my little brother, and we were jumping around like little kids, like, oh, my Lord, look at Steph Curry. I think it was a Wednesday night. I could be wrong, but it was on ESPN, and I was just like, oh, wow, this is really happening. Was that the moment for you, Steiny? Was that the moment for you, Goo, where you thought, okay, something special is brewing with number 30?
You know what? I don't know if I have a special moment. There are just a lot of moments that kept piling onto each other. And then after a while, you were thinking, wow, this guy actually, it's not one game. It's not he's hot one game. It's right. not he's, oh, he's playing, he's having a nice stretch of three games. He was putting together lots of games, and he started making shots. I mean, the thing, sometimes when you boil it down to its simplest form, what Steph Curry is able to do is make harder shots from further out on the floor by far than anybody who's ever played the game. Like, there's nobody who's been as accurate as, and you know, you can, and here's the thing, you can show me shooting percentages of all the play and this, that, and the other thing. There is nobody that made that who's get the foundation of Curry's game was his ability to make a 25-30 foot shot. And the fact that he could make that consistently and also do it off a dribble or two, like he wasn't a catch and shoot guy. It was the foundation of his game because you had to guard him then 25 feet from the basket. And you know what? If you're a guard in the NBA, nobody can guard you out that far because NBA guards offensively are too good. And so in a lot of ways, I've always thought he's creative and fancy and all that stuff, exciting. But he's also incredibly simple. His game's simple. If you leave him open from 26 feet, he'll make a shot. If you try to guard him from 26 feet, he can get by you and make a play. It's really... He can keep it very simple, too.
Yeah, and I'll say this. You know, New York is known for Rucker Park. That's to pick up, you know, the playground. Right. But to me, Madison Square Garden is the NBA version of Rucker Park. And how many times do we hear the East Coast writers or the East Coast people, they don't watch the Warriors or teams on the West Coast? Well, Steph gave them 54, 11 threes, and I'll never forget 49er Frankie, my good friend. You guys met him. He says that day he believes that Curry was a star. And not that he hadn't been balling, Steiny, but that he did it in New York, 11 three-pointers. And when we think about Steph, he's got an all-around game. But to have 11 threes and do it with the wiggle jiggle and the way that he did, and I'm thinking like 13, maybe that was his coming out party to let everybody know that he was here and he was about to step in front of LeBron, because we thought it was going to be LeBron in the chips, but Curry got in the way. And I think a lot of hate comes Curry's way because of that.
You know what else it did? it erased the memories of Monte Ellis from Warrior fans' mind. And damn, what I mean by that is,
that's great.
That was a year after Monte Ellis basically got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And Andrew Bogut comes in, he's hurt. Steph Curry has the ankle issues. And a lot of people, look, Stidey, you know you were in the mix. Guru, you're here in the Bay Area. There's a lot of Team Monte and a lot of Team Steph.
Oh, I was
here. Which side were you on? And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was disappointed when Monte Ellis got traded because he was a known commodity. You know what I'm saying? He was scoring 18, 19 a game. I was like, man, they traded Monte and Steph's got the ankle issues. And Larry said it before in these airways, Larry Riley, that is, that they were not sure about that ankle. It was a real legit concern for Steph Curry. So to have that happen a year after basically all that stuff transpired, where Joe Lacob gets booed at Oracle Arena on Chris Mullin night, Rick Barry's telling everybody to calm down, Curry's out with the ankle injury, and that for me, when he dropped that 54 in New York, it made that trade, and I know it was later in the season, it was in February, but to me it made the trade valid. It certified the right move. It was like, okay, the Warriors made the right decision here by keeping Curry and moving off of Monte Ellis.
Well, for me,
that's great.
You know, I had reached the point where I thought Ellis Monte had run his course here, right. No doubt about that. But I remember specifically what I was thinking at the time of the trade. I've always loved Andrew Bogut, even when he was in college, and I knew he was injury prone. But I thought, you know, God, I think. You know, he's really good if he can be healthy, or certainly just an anchor, no doubt about it. But the one thing I did think was, okay, like, because at this point they move Monte, now it's Steph. My first thought was, or thinking at the time was, hey, be careful here thinking that Steph can do what Monte does, because, like, yeah, Monte scored a lot of points and the team didn't win, but Monte also, in fairness to him, he had to make plays late in the shot clock, and the ball found him always with 4 seconds left. And so he always was the guy who sometimes tried to do too much because he had to. And that's what I thought could happen to Curry, is that he could kind of become overwhelmed, or that he might become a big turnover guy and a low percentage shooter guy, relatively speaking. But again, he showed that he can do what he ended up doing.
Yeah, and I just want to ask you two this, because Larry kind of mentioned it when he talked about Steph changing the game, and we talk about whether you like it or not right now. There's so many three-pointers in the game, and Steiny, you talked about how guards, you know, got to guard Steph Curry when he comes past half court. The bigs, Bonte, they don't know what they're doing out there, and that created the blender. The chef showed you how to use the blender. I say that to say is, so Steph Curry is the reason for the three ball evolution then, right? That we're currently watching. Does that go on his resume? Is when we say change the game, fellas? Is that the Steph Curry effect? Because to me it is.
You know, it's not like there weren't three-point shooters before Steph, but he mastered it to such an extent that
off the dribble.
You had to, let's see, he mastered it to such an extent that people watching basketball were forced to acknowledge that if you can make as many shots from out there as he can, it's better than two-point baskets. It's better than throwing the ball inside to a big center, and he makes an awkward move. He gets fouled. He goes to the line. He makes one of two. That went away. Like, that's the part that even old school people had to acknowledge. What's the point of doing that? You know, why are we giving the ball to a 6'10 guy who's not a good foul shooter?
Right.
To score two-point baskets.
Right.
So I think he was like, he made it change so fast.
Man.
And
he did. He did, because you know what? Like, there were people trying to shoot threes, and there were teams trying to shoot threes. When I think of, like, in my lifetime, you know, I'm a little younger than you guys, but I remember watching the early 90s Kentucky teams, Kentucky Wildcats, where Rick Pitino was coaching them. And all they did was press, full court press, and they shot a bunch of threes. They shot a bunch of threes, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. They were just, it was bombs away, but they didn't have a Steph Curry. You know, they had guys like Tony Delk, they had Antoine Walker, they had Walter McCarty, they had some guys. But I thought, Steiny and Goo, that Rick Pitino was trying to usher that brand of basketball in. Hell, even maybe in the late 80s when he was at Providence and they advanced to the Final Four the year Indiana beat Syracuse.
So the formula was there, you say, just not guys that could do it like Steph. Because real quick, I think of Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, they were all dependent fellas on. To me, and they could put it on the floor, but they weren't highly skilled at it to where that was their game. Yeah. They were catch and shoot. Stoddy, you said Steph Ray was Allen. Off the dribble.
I thought Ray Allen was a slasher early on in his career. He developed into a three-pointer later on because I think he lost some burst and some explosiveness. But Stoddy, I thought Ray Allen – He wasn't a three-point shooter when he came into the league out of UConn.
Yeah, Seattle,
he was dunking on guys. He was crossing guys over, hitting a mid-range jumper. Reggie Miller more so, you know, catch and shoot with the three, no doubt.
You mentioned Rick Pitino at Providence. I think we also got to throw in there Loyola Marymount with Paul Westhead because they were with Hank Gathers and
Bo Kimble.
And a guy named Fryer, I want to say, in the backcourt. Remember, they were giving up twos. They started to, like, give up twos to run the ball up the court to shoot a three. It was exaggerated. But so, So what basically happened was Curry was the first – okay, and they, even though they weren't, Warriors were the first jump-shooting team to ever win at all. Now, we know they weren't a jump-shooting team, but there's no doubt – the Warriors used the outside shot as efficiently as any team in NBA history, obviously. So they did prove that you didn't have to have a center. You didn't have to, you know, get to the foul line 40 times a game as a team. But what gets lost is that they were a very well-rounded team that could defend also, and that they would lead the league at points at the rim or scores at the rim, but nobody thought, oh boy, the Warriors, they're so great inside. Well, they led the league in layups because of their 3-point shooting. So they proved a lot of people wrong.
Let's play this highlight, fellas. We talked about his 54-point game. We played the highlight coming into the segment. Well, here's his coming out party in the playoffs when the Warriors hadn't made the playoffs since the We Believe team. They went through a lot. Obviously, Steven Jackson went out of town. He wanted out. Monte Ellis traded. Now you get Bogut. Now you get Harrison Barnes as a rookie. Klay Thompson is now in the starting lineup. Mark Jackson is coined the Splash Brothers as the best shooting backcourt in NBA history. Here's what Steph Curry did in his first ever postseason. Some highlights from that 2013 first-round series against the Denver Nuggets.
Of the third of the fourth quarter. Curry, Barnes, Bogut. Jack out there along with Klay Thompson. Three, that is in. Curry puts it in. He's got 30 points.
Well, that's something that Denver did all year. Curry knocks down another three.
First lead for the Warriors since the end of the first quarter. 4-3 for Curry. Golden State. And the point guards, the leading scorers in this game, Stephen Curry with 23 for Golden State. Ty Lawson has 28 for Denver. Series tied at one. One quarter left in Oakland.
I just remember Steiny about that series.
Wow, man. Is that a highlight? Ty Lawson at 28?
Ty Lawson at 28. That's a blaster. Andre Miller was on that roster. Corey Brewer. Miller. Man. That was a who's who, but
that was Curry, the Iguodala mole series, right?
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. The mole.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Comes to the Warriors the next season. Warriors beat the Nuggets in six. They lose to the Spurs in six in a very good second round series. Very, very good second round series.
Yeah.
I remember Curry coming out for game four with the ankle Steiny. He didn't wear the ankle brace on his left ankle. He felt like he was holding weight on there. It was like dead weight on his ankle. But he scored like 22 in the third quarter that game four. It just blew the game open. Warriors go up 3-1 to beat the Nuggets. Even that first game they lost, Curry had a big three to tie it with like 14 seconds left, What do you guys remember about that series and the joy Steph Curry and the Warriors brought to the Bay Area, where it was like, oh boy, we do have hope. We may have a consistent playoff team in the Bay Area for the first time since the early 90s.
And real quick, Stoddy, I'll be honest. My mother had back surgery, so Norm and I were at St. Rose Hospital. They had a Saturday playoff game, and the whole series, man, I'm keeping it real. I was rooting for the Warriors, but I never thought they would get it done. I never thought they would beat the Nuggets. And it's just sitting there just watching these games, and three-pointer after three-pointer by the Splash Brothers as they develop their identity, I'm sitting there like, they ain't going to pull this off. So to answer your question, Bonte, that was to me the start of get ready. You know, a bully is in town, and that's when it started, man.
Well, I don't know if they were a bully yet, but
Not yet. They were on their way to, no doubt, because I was thinking they were going to lose. I didn't think they could pull that off.
Well, they weren't favored in that series.
No doubt. I was definitely pulling this off.
That was a matchup. Warriors were a six seed.
That was definitely an upset, but nobody thought they were – I mean
– Damn.
Like, nobody at that point thought this was a championship team. I don't think.
No.
Now, we – you know, it's hard to predict, well, how good can they be 3 years from now? You know, at that point, it was like, okay, we got a nice backcourt. We just beat Denver. And then, I mean, you're right, Bonte. The next series against San Antonio was phenomenal. They blew game one.
Oh, my Lord.
They had a monster lead, and they blew game one. And they actually had that series two games apiece before they lost the last two.
Baby steps.
So, yeah, that was the year where, I mean, obviously it was the first playoff team since, you know, We Believe. So,
right.
You know, I tend to look at these things a little more analytically. Like, I wasn't thinking this is the start of something, because I was just, this team this year just got to the second round. You know what I mean? I wonder what they can do next year.
Right.
And next year, they lost in the first round, but probably ended up being a blessing in disguise.
You know, I just remember Curry having the ankle issues in the latter half of the Denver Nuggets series. And then, of course, in the San Antonio Spurs series where he was, I'm not going to say limited, but you could tell the ankle was compromising his game. He couldn't really open it up like he wanted to. And I remember Jerry Jack handled the ball a lot against the San Antonio Spurs. Harrison Barnes had a good series against the Spurs, if I recall. But I still, Steiny and Goo, I was still concerned about the ankle coming off of that playoff run, because I was just thinking, boy, Curry could be special. They may have something here. They may have something special. Not MVP-type special. I never believed that. Even until he won his MVP, I was still shocked. Like, this guy won the MVP, but the ankles were a big concern for me. In that series against San Antonio and the Nuggets, I just thought, is he ever going to get his ankles right? Is he ever going to – you know, I didn't have any faith in that, to be honest with you. I didn't know if his ankles can hold up over this. Like, here we are 11 years later, and I'm like, boy, we don't even talk about the ankles anymore.
You know what? And, Stoney, I liken it to a quarterback that's been injured. He comes back, and every time he gets hit, even though he gets the pass off, you're not even watching where the ball went. You're just watching the quarterback. Can he get himself off the mat? And, Bonte, to your point, man, I remember watching Steph do a move, and you were just like, is he hobbling? He pulled up. And he may not be injured, but you're just – you've been hit over the head with this so much, Stoney, and you're concerned. Like, you know what it can be if he aggravated it. And I don't know if it's Brandon Payne. I don't know what meds or science. But, again, I would love to just get my bag of popcorn, watch a doc, and watch what Steph did to rebuild basically his ankles to where they basically he knocked them out in the ring. They never reared their head again. And knock on wood, it's just amazing because Steiny and Bonte, I'm telling you, I thought the ankles would get the best of them. I thought we would never be here, man. He beat him, Steiny.
Obviously he had some – he had injury ankle injuries early in his career. I know it was serious, but I didn't – you know, sometimes you just got to wait. I mean, like, you think of it now, a guy misses half a year, it's huge. But but sometimes you look back and he got himself – you know, believe it or not, I keep thinking about what Tim Hardaway said earlier. A couple days ago, it's like, you know, some guys early in their career, they get those injuries kind of out of their way, and then they get healthy. once they really fill into their bodies at 24, 25. But I remember it was definitely serious, no doubt.
The Andre Iguodala mole series. George Karl wins Coach of the Year. He gets fired. Iguodala becomes a Golden State Warrior that year. The Warriors take on the San Antonio Spurs and lose 6 games in the second round. It was the start of a long, long playoff journey for Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. We'll get back into that. But up next is his college coach out of Davidson. He's been at Davidson since 1989. And Bob McKillop's not one of those guys who is on a lifetime contract due to one player. They continue to win at Davidson. They continue to win despite Steph Curry not being there. But we'll talk to his former college coach, Bob McKillop, coming up here on BSG. Matt Steinman, Sarah Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.